Was er?
Okay.
Oh, my.
Well.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do.
Ready, Storm?
Who do you?
I'll take the call.
Oh, me. Well. So you're gonna take a fall, huh? Well, let's see. I'll change my message today. Turn over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll go to chapter 2, and then I'm going to go to the book of Revelations. And I may go to Hebrews 5 and verse 12 too. But, you know, this morning, like Brother Bill said, this morning is going to be the last Sunday of 2014. But my prayer is that the Lord will give us another opportunity ahead of us to serve Him and to win more people to the Lord. And I don't know the reason why, but the Lord has really spoken to me about some different things that for this year, next year. But, you know, even that, I've had, with the visits that I've had and where me and Brother Bill have had, I have never seen a time where people really want to get back in church, but they seem like that something else is hindering them from getting back in church. Now, I heard some yesterday. It bothered me. It bothered me really. I couldn't go to sleep hardly this morning, but about 2:30. But it was really bothering me, and what this lady was telling us as we went out yesterday afternoon and visited. And the only thing I have to go by is what her word is, and you know, in a way, it don't really surprise me. But she said that when she was a young person in church and everything, that there's having a youth, some type of youth meetings and everything, and her family and everything, they was going to Florida, to Disney World and everything, and so they was going and with them, and they told the pastor that they wouldn't be there at the youth or youth meeting or the youth rally of what they had at that time. I don't know what they had. She didn't really go into a whole lot of details, but she did go into this much of it. And my prayers, I hope she misunderstood him and what the preacher said to her and to the other individuals down there, to the other young people and some adults and everything, that she just said that he just cursed them out because they wouldn't be there at church and supporting the youth that they was in. Now, to me, you know, I don't know what was said. I'm not saying that he said it. But, you know, and I can't say that she wasn't telling the truth or anything like that, but In the day and time that we're living, and what we're seeing out here within all the churches today, it would not surprise me one bit. I mean, I've went to preachers. They've invited me to the church and everything, and I went over there and I went to different churches and talked to them. I mean, I've seen people in a church now. I mean, pastors of the church sitting in a study downstairs in the basement, smoking a cigar right there in church. Now, you know, I mean, that's up to the individuals. The individuals who want to smoke, that's up to them. But don't come in God's house. Because I look at it this way, if you're coming in God's house and going to smoke in God's house and even on God's property, what you're doing, you're just allowing people to smell the world right here. But we're living in troublesome times. We really are, in perilous times also. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father." In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." That is all that I see right there, that what Peter's right here saying is that that's what the people, they just want to grow a little bit, and they just want to grow and to the point and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe and I've trusted in the Lord," but they don't want to make no commitment to the Lord. And when you don't make a commitment to the Lord, you cannot get in and you cannot eat from the meat of His Word. And that is getting down to where you start reading about sin and the different types of sin that this Bible teaches us. Sin is on the rampant today. Sin is on the rampage today. It's everywhere we go. And if we don't watch it, we can get caught up ourselves in the sin of the world, in the sin that the people have out here to offer us. But not only that, we see over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 12, we see where the Apostle Paul, I believe that, and I will not argue with nobody. I'm not going to get in an argument with nobody about it. I ain't going to say that there's a fact or nothing like that. I just say this is what I believe, and I believe it's the closest thing to it, and to Paul's writings right here. But I know it doesn't have an author penned to this book here, but I believe it's. But I do believe that Paul had a hand in writing this book. I do, because of some things that he says. But right here in verse chapter 5, in verse 12, it says this: For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, that given those whom by reason of use have thou sensed exercise to discern both good and evil. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's speaking of maturity right there. That is speaking of an individual that has matured themselves in the word of the Lord. And we have to remember that we have to ask the Lord Jesus and through the Holy Spirit to teach us what this word says. Because, and I know if y'all have heard me before say that, you know, talk about the seminaries or the cemeteries or the, I don't know what to call them anymore, but only thing you're going to get there is what the professor or what the teacher of that particular class is going to tell you. They're just going to give you their viewpoints of what it's speaking about. And then when they give you their viewpoints of it, then they'll go to something else and they'll give you their viewpoint of something, of another verse and another verse and another verse. But they don't. But some of them don't realize too that you can take that verse, and I think my wife, she was speaking about it this morning. You know, I can read the same verse of scripture week after week, service after service. But the thing about it is the message that will come forth will never be the same message. Why? Because this book right here, it lives. It breathes, and it lives and breathes within us. So, if we get away from this or we get away from that, we must realize that we can always come back to the Scripture. There's not a verse of Scripture in the Bible that has not been read, that has not been preached on a dozen, maybe 100 times. And that every one of them has been different. And the individual has got a different meaning from it. How many of you have took the Bible and read your devotions or read what you read during the day or whatever? And you say, well, you know, I just read that here 2 or 3 months ago. But I didn't see that in him. You know the reason we didn't see it in him? Because we haven't come to the part in our life that we're going to be challenged with that situation. God challenges us every day. That's the reason this book, the King James Bible, it breathes, it lives within our hearts if you're saved. And people say, well, I pray, and you know, about coming to church or something like that, so God just ain't dealt with me about coming to church. Well, no, God ain't dealt with them about coming to church if they're not saved. And not only that, that's one thing that we shouldn't have to pray about. That's one thing that God says we don't have to pray about. Because it's commanded in God's word that we fellowship together in his house. He didn't say in a book nowhere that I've read that we can stay home and listen to the TV preacher or listen to somebody else far away from us. But I do thank God for the ones that are still preaching the gospel that's on TV, for the individuals that are not able to come out.
I know right now that I could probably go to right now to Roman Eagle Nursing Home, and I could go to every room, and I could talk to the people. And in a few minutes, I could say, well, would you like to be in church this Sunday? Yeah. But they're not able to come. Why? Because a sickness has come upon their body. We know not what sickness they may have, but we know the sickness has come and taken their body and took it to a toll to where they can't get out and can't, you know, go about doing what they used to do. Every time that I go to Roman Eagle, the people then tell me, says, I wish I could just go to church one more time. Just go to church one more time. You know what I tell them all the time? You are in church. You are in church. Yeah, it may not have a little steeple on top of it. It may not have pews in here. It may not have chandeliers in here. But as long as you're gathered together and want to worship the Lord, sing praises unto Him, and hear something from heaven, you're in church. We don't have to go to no set place, and I don't even know why we even put church on the signs anymore. I really don't. Because this right here is not Faith Baptist Church. We that are members, we are Faith Baptist Church. We are, because this building right here is going to be a whole lot longer than we are going to be here. And it's going to eventually just burn and crumble the dust of the earth. Because that's what God says in the book of Revelation, that He's going to destroy the earth. He's going to purify this earth once again. How does it purify anything? Has anything purified? It's purified by fire. And that's how He's going to do it. By fire. By fire.
And I know I've heard people still talk about, and I think that I've said it before and everything. And I just, you know, we do it because we're just really joking with the people, but sometimes we've got to be mindful of how we joke with people, because people look at it and they take it kind of serious from us. But I know that we've had not right much rain, and it can rain for 3 or 4 days, a week and a half, and then if we don't watch it, we'll say, well, you know, I'm better going out there and start building in that boat. I need to go and start building that boat. Hey, God's put a promise there in heaven, and every once in a while we can see that promise. And that's the rainbow. That's another one of God's covenants right there. The rainbow. There's there in the heavens of heavens that we can see from one side to the other side, but we cannot see the complete circle in it. Why? Because of the clouds, and because of the heat, and because of the cold, and because of the rain. We don't have a complete circle. But I believe the day that we go home, we're going to have the complete circle. Why? Because we're going to have people that saved, they in heaven. And I got some loved ones that I want to see. My brother, I want to see him again.
been gone five, about 6 years now. It'll be six or seven this coming year. But I want to see him again. I think about him every day. I want to see my stepfather. I think about him. You know, it was years there. It was probably 20, it was 20 years, yeah, it was 20 years of my life that I never said I loved him. And I thanked him for what he was doing for the family and what he was doing for my mother, keeping her up. Never did thank him. Never did tell him that I loved him. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart, then that's when I went to him. And I got down on my hands and knees right in front of him. And I told him, I said, Herschel, I said, I never have told you I love you. I have never told you I thank you for taking care of my mother and taking care of us. I want to tell you today, I love you. I love you as being my stepfather and really being my father. But my father had been dead since 1958. He got killed in 58 on a job. And I told him, I said, and I just want to thank you. I mean, at that time, I called my pastor and I asked him to come out and go up there with me because I wanted, this is what I said to him. I said, I'd love for you to go with me because I need for you to talk to him. Because he's not saved. As soon as we walked in the door, I don't even know if Brother Billy even got time. I even got a word in until I got ready to leave. Because I just poured my heart out to him. And I didn't stop by either. I kept praying for him.
Curtis Hall, that was over at Sherman Baptist Church. Him and my stepfather, they grew up together. And I went over and I asked Brother Hall, I said, Brother Hall, I said, would you go and see my stepfather? He's there in the hospital right now. They haven't told us yet, but I feel like it's something that's wrong because they kind of really, well, my mother's not telling us anything. I don't know if she's keeping it from us or the doctors or whatever. I says, but he needs to be saved. He said, who's your stepfather? And I told him. He said, yes, I have to go. They grew up together. He told me, he said, we grew up together. Unless you knew Curtis Hall, he'd tell you like it is. He said, hey, me and your stepfather, me and Herschel, we'd go out on the weekend and we'd have a good time. But he didn't drink like I drank. He says, I wasn't no alcoholic. I was a drunk. And that's the way he said it. He said, I'm a drunk. I was a sinner. And I needed somebody. So he went to the hospital. He spoke to my stepfather. My stepfather got saved. And I'll tell you one thing. And my mother was kind of wondering, really, did he get saved?
Because there's a whole lot of people today don't believe in going to the hospital and talking to people that they can seem like it's no communication. He couldn't talk to him. Herschel couldn't talk to him. He wasn't able to even speak. But he heard every word he says. Because that's the last thing that goes. I mean, that's what the doctors tell me. They say that's the last thing that goes is your hearing. And once your hearing really goes, then God's going to give you another sense. But when you're in the hospital, laying down on a deathbed, they say, you'll lose your eyesight. You'll lose your function of your body. You'll lose your speech. But your hearing is the last thing that will go. And they say, and in life today, on people that don't have no sickness or that's in a hospital, that's not in a hospital or something like that, and by ready to pass away or something like that. Yes, there's some of them out here that's blind. But I'll tell you one thing. God gives them an extra sense. God gives them an extra touch that I don't have. I can take Brother Stamp right here for an example. Brother Stamp's right here. You don't have to tell him but one time. And if you speak to him and you tell him one time your name, that's it. He never forgets. You think that he just says, well, I think I'm going to just start memorizing. And I'm going to start sensing all of these things that where people go and tell me. It's a gift. It's a gift of God from God. Same way with hearing or any other sense that we may lose. Each sense that we have is a gift from God. And each sense that we don't have, then God will give us something else that override that sense to where we have it. My wife may not have it. Ain't that right, Brother Stamps?
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother. I'm going to tell you something. I've been knowing that man right there for a long time. We go back a long time. And I'd probably been 25, and probably maybe been 30. Maybe been longer than that since I've seen it. But I come down here to revival one day, one night. And I believe it was Brother Craig was holding a revival that week, and that was when Brian was young, and his other family and everything, they were all real young, and Brian was up here playing guitar and singing and everything. As soon as I walked in the door, as soon as I stuck my hand over and shook his hand, I said, "How you doing, brother?" I'd have to tell him my name. He says, "I know you. I know you from somewhere." I tell you what, I wish I could remember names, but I can't. I can't remember names. I wish I could memorize verses,
But I can't. I tried. I mean, I went. I bought
books and everything to help me to try to get in, memorize scripture. I can't do it. So I said, well, I can't memorize the scripture, but I do have the book that's got the scripture in it. So it's no need me keep wondering about that. But you know, we are having too many people today that they are still on the milk. They haven't got weaned away from the Bible. They haven't got weaned away from the pacifier. Because you know yourself, if you say something wrong to an individual, and what you say, you didn't mean nothing by it, I didn't mean nothing by it, but they just took it the wrong way. Then the next thing you know, they upset. And they get out of church. And then don't go back to church. Who's they hurting? They're not hurting me. They're hurting God. Not only that, they're hurting themselves also. Because why in the world would somebody allow the way somebody had spoken, that maybe somebody had misinterpreted the word and what they said and everything, to quit having fellowship with God? I've never understood that. I'll go and make peace with people, even if I said anything or not. If I never said anything wrong to them or nothing, I'll go and make peace with them. If there's anything that I've ever said to you or anything, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Because that's the only way we're going to get people back. We're going to get people back in the same fellowship. We got too many people like today. I bet you I know we've got at least probably more than one or two that's out. They used to come here all the time. But yet, where are they at? Are they at home today? Where are they at next week? Well, they done took a trip. They're no more concerned about their family than anything. We are more concerned about the individual's family than the family itself. What I'm concerned about a whole lot of the people that's not in church today that used to be in church. Yes, some used to come. Some used to teach. Some used to sing in the choir. Some used to maybe be a deacon or whatever. They're not here. They're not in church. I probably come and ask each and every one of you, how many of you know that used to come here? How many of them are not in church today? You could probably tell me. If you just ask for one individual, probably one individual could tell you how many is not back here. It could probably double the size that we have now if they would just realize that we're concerned about the family and about them. I don't know any of them by name, but it's not a one of them that I don't love. And that I'll do anything I can for if I've got it.
I'll do it. I'm not trying to build up me no bank account down here. I'm not trying to get enough money down here to where I can go ahead and buy me a bigger home, and where I can go ahead and buy me another car or something like that. I'm here to lead people to Jesus. To lead people to Jesus. To where they can forget about all the things that they're laying up for here. I never have seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Never have. Now, I have heard and I have known of people, family members would go to their home while the other family members would be at the funeral home while they was having the funeral and going to the grave and all that. I have heard about when they got back to the house that it wasn't nothing in the house. Well, the other family members come in and took everything they got and left. Brother Jimmy Williams told me one time, he said, you know, up there on Rennie Yates on 58, was having a funeral up there. Said the pastor was up there bringing a message and everything, and consoling the people and everything. And right before he got to me, he seen a U-Haul go right beside Red Yates with an automobile on the back of the U-Haul and another car following them. Is it brother and sister or the family? But he told me, he says, the one was about 2 or 3 weeks later that the immediate family had come and told us they got everything that was here, that was left of us. I don't see how people justify themselves. I don't see how people can live with themselves like that. They don't have no conscience. And they don't have no heart either.
But I believe in 2015 that's right ahead of us. I know we ain't got but a few more days and 2014 is going to be gone. What we've done from yesterday on back, we can't undo. But we can make better decisions the rest of this day and the day forward. And the decisions that we make, lies is going to be affected. What are you saying? You saying, you mean the decisions that I make and what I'm going to do tomorrow is going to affect lives? Yep. You're right. Sure is. It's going to affect lives.
But is it going to affect lives in a good way or in a bad way? We must go at it and saying, Lord, what I do today, I want to glorify you. I want to please you today. We should never, and even 2015, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, we should not come up and say, well, 2015, Lord, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to live for you in 2015. Don't say it like that, because you cannot do it. Because of what you can go back over there in the Old Testament and talk about Jacob. He vowed a vow too. He broke his vow. We're going to break our promises, and we're not going to mean to break them. So we must ask him every day, Lord, my prayer is that I can do something today that will please you and honor you. We need to get hungry for souls. Ten people here this morning. We've had as high as 16, 17. But you know something? There's no reason why. There's no reason why that we can't have 30 people within the next month. There's no reason why. Because God wants them healed. But who's it going to take to get them healed? Us. You mean God's not going to get them healed? That's the reason God's got us. But now if we don't want to be used by God, no, we don't have to be used of God. God don't have to use us. No, he don't. But then the people that obey God, when God blesses them, I said, then you can't come up and say, well, I don't understand it, why God's blessing me no more. All that much. He says, he don't never bless me no more. What have they done? I don't see no evidence of them bringing people in. No, they could be praying for the one that's able to pray. You know, if me and Bill just went out, if we were just the only two that was going out visiting, and as we went out and visiting, if we had the other people here at the church praying for us the whole time that we're out, that God would give us the very words to say. How many of you believe that God will do what he says he'll do? I do. But he needs people to do it. He needs people to pray for one for another. And I need your prayers. If you ain't got nobody to pray for this week, you can just put mine at the top of the list. Well, what have you done? I mean, what have you done this past week? I mean, man, he wants you to the top of the list. Man, he really has sinned this week. Hey, his word says, for all that sin comes short. And that's just not talking up to the sinner. That's just talking to the lost individual. That's talking to the saved.
long as we had this flesh hanging on this body, we have sin. We have sin on us. And what does it do? The flesh is fighting against the inward man, the Spirit of God. Always fighting. But a whole lot of times we can kind of cease the fighting, cease the warfare.
Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you will go with us today. And, Father, whatever we do, Father, Lord, we just pray that it will honor you and glorify your precious name. Father, because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be honored and glorified. And our Father, we do thank you for your saving grace. Now, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you'll help each one of us as individuals here at Faith Baptist Church. And yes, it's not the building, but it's the individual believer. That we need to have the faith in you. That we are Faith Baptist Church. It's because of the faith that we have and put and trust in you. And it's also because of the word Baptist, we believe that we are the closest thing to the Word of God as far as biblically, doctrinal. And Father, we want to thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that you allowed me to be a part of your precious family. And then the word church. I'm so thankful that you can call me your church. We are the church, the individual that's breathing, that lives, that speaks, that hears, that goes about, that walks, that talks. We are the church. Father, help us, Lord Jesus, that we may be used by thee, Lord, that you may uplift us, encourage us, Father, that we need to do our part in going out and witnessing and bringing people to church. And Father, and sometimes, yes, Lord, I've been out and I've gone on visitation or want to go to witness somebody, and I've never, ever brought up anything at all about you, Lord. I've never brought anything up about the church. I just went there as a friend and just let them know that if they ever need me, that they can call me. Father, we must show ourselves friendly unto the people. And as we show ourselves friendly to the people, Father, then we know that they will come out one day. And Father, when they come out, Lord Jesus, they will just get so hooked on you and get so hooked on the fellowship here that they will be bonded like super glue, Father, that no one can pull them away. No one can tear them away from it. And Father, we pray, God, in the remainder of this time in my life, Lord Jesus, would you just help me, God, to be a better Christian,
Help me to be a better servant. An old father, I pray. Lord Jesus, that you'll just help me that I can be the pastor, Father, that you would be pleased with in leading these people. But I'm so thankful that I have the shepherd that I can go to. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Page 220.